feel like that it translates to multiple professions, that anybody going to their doctor for a checkup might not necessarily have this meaningful experience, but if they have an emergency and they come in and their doctor takes care of them and sees them right away, they take something much more meaningful away from it because it was important and had to be dealt with properly in the moment.
Exactly. And what I have found as well is it takes so little effort to actually do that communicate, make that
Yes.
communication, explain that little thing. What's fascinating when you're flying, and for example, you have really long delays, which happens sometimes, is and this is something I tell people who are getting into the left seat, into the captain seat as well, is that communication, even if there's nothing new that you need to say, even if
Yes.
you don't have really a message, that communication is still important. So I tell people to go back in every 15 minutes or so during a long delay and just tell them, like, we're here, we're still talking to our traffic control, there's no news, we're still waiting. At the moment, the delay is still as long as I said before, but I'll keep you updated. And then another 15 minutes later, you come back with something similar. Doing that makes all the difference in the world.
100%. We had a flight this summer where that's exactly what happened. We're flying west, but a storm was coming in from the west. So we were the next plane to take off, and air traffic control shut down Western departures. But this pilot, every 10, 15 minutes, hey, we're number three in line. Hey, there's more of a gap because yesterday there was a storm and they need to take out or take off from Newark, from LaGuardia, from JFK. So we have longer spacing in between aircrafts. And I don't know these things when I'm sitting in the chair waiting to leave, but the fact that this was communicated, it was like, oh, this makes sense. It's nobody's fault. It's just what's happening right now. And eventually it wound
Absolutely.
up being we went back to the gate, but the experience was stuff happens sometimes. Life happens. It's nobody's fault. It is what it is. But the fact that this guy communicated it, we're not sitting there getting frustrated. Look, why aren't you doing something? Why isn't something being done to make this better?
Yeah, I mean it's all psychology when it comes to dealing with these like horrible delays. I've had people on board my aircraft for 4 hours without being able to move. Like 4 straight hours sitting down, which was twice the time of the original flight time, but still being in a relatively good mood. Like then, obviously you have to employ other strategies as well, which is what I've tend to do is or I always if we're at the gate, I keep the doors open. For example, that's number one because that's a communication that says to people, A, I'm not trapped. There's a door there. I'm not going to go out through it, but there's a door that's open. B, as long as that door is open, we're not going to move. So that it takes away the thought of like, okay, we're on our way. No, the door is open, so we're probably not on our way. And you also can let people go up into the front of the aircraft, get a little bit of fresh air, stretch their legs, talk a little bit. And then, the last thing that I employ, or the last couple of things that I employ in situations like that, is that I let people, tell people like, if there's, some people with kids here, bring them forward. We can have a look at the cockpit. So it becomes a little bit, people are getting engaged into what's going on then. And sometimes as well, I'd go out and go through down through the aircraft, and just if I know, for example, that there are people or moms with newborns, with well, very young children anyway, I would go down and physically check on them just to make sure, like, do you have water? Is the baby okay? And the interesting thing with that is that when you do that, all of the people around who feel immensely sorry for themselves will start to realize that actually there are people there, they're like little kids here. Maybe I'm not, 45-year-old me is not that bad off. Maybe the mom with the toddler is worse off, and the crew is taking care of them. So good stuff. Like there are psychological factors that you can employ to make sure that people feel pretty comfortable, even though they're in a situation which by all means should be less than comfortable.
It's
It's
such, yeah, go
such
ahead.
a it's a luxury to be able to speak to your population, for us to speak to our patients in a more lengthy manner to communicate with them that not everyone has. Certainly other healthcare professionals that we speak to, not everyone has the time to sit down, explain, communicate, and it sounds like whether you have the time or not, you take the time.
I mean, in those kind of situations, you definitely have the time, but certainly, I mean, there are situations where we don't have time, where we can't do anything. Like if something critical happens, we will aviate, navigate, and then communicate, which I very often say. So you do it in that order. But the communication to passengers and to cabin crew is very, very important in order to for just the general well-being of everyone on board. So telling people that something has happened, everyone knows that something has happened. So if you don't tell them something, their own versions of what's going on is going to start growing. And this is pretty, I mean, this is what happens if you don't, let's say you have a long delay and the pilots doesn't feel like talking, right? They're pissed off, they're tired or whatever. They don't think that I'm not getting paid for this. I'm getting paid for flying the aircraft. I'm not going to be talking much. And there are those people out there. But what happens then is that you, first of all, you give all of this to the cabin crew. So you're kind of delegating all of this to the cabin crew. And there will always inevitably be one leader among the passengers who would start to like, what are you not telling us? You know, and then the conspiracy theories will start to grow from that. And it will just like it will literally start to boil. And you can have that within half an hour. Like if you close the doors and you don't move for 30 minutes without saying anything, you will have that growing, bubbling in the cabin. And you will, it's so easy to just cut it short by just giving them a few words, just explaining something. You know,
Yeah, I
I have very little understanding for people who don't do that.
would think whether it's seeing your doctor, whether it's a pilot, you want to feel like the person who you are deferring to, who's the expert, is in control, that they've got you, that whatever's happening, they're navigating this situation with you and it's going to be fine on the other end. And it's that
Correct.
communication lends itself to creating that sort of environment so easily, and it's so oftentimes overlooked. And I think people need to take note of that. In
Absolutely. But
yeah.
no, like Michelle was saying, it is a luxury, right? And it's a luxury, but it's a luxury from both sides. It's a luxury from us to be able to explain it to the people that we work with, but also from the, in your case, the patient's point of view, or that's it's a luxury that they appreciate because they will feel like they're seen, heard, and taken care of.
Yes. Now, in your all of your experience, have you ever had a situation where there's some sort of incident, whether it's equipment, whatever goes wrong? Do you have any incident in your mind that stands out as like, wow, I was able to get through
Many. Now
that?
it's literally what we do. You know, it's very rarely do we find ourselves in situations which are life-threatening because that's what people think. People think that we're constantly facing, you know, facing down death. That's not the case. Aviation is so incredibly safe. But what happens is that we always have to deal with operational issues, and that's getting, you know, the more busy the skies becomes and the more reactive the weather becomes as well, because we are seeing worse and worse weather, the more of these situations we have. And if you on top of that put those little technical issues, which are not in themselves life-threatening, but from an operational standpoint, they might stop you from operating, they might stop you from flying, and you have to explain that to the passengers, and it's going to cause a lot of delays and a lot of subsequent delays. And of course, in our case, we also have to then talk to our crew and talk to our company and talk to our traffic control and try to get all of these pieces together so that we eventually can get away. Yes, the answer to your question is yes, that happens on several occasions. The worst I've had, which actually do kind of ties into what you guys are talking about, is an incident I had many years ago back in Italy, where we landed an aircraft, taxied off, the passengers got off, and then we closed, you know, we did the security checks in the cabin and everything, and we started getting the new passengers on. And just as we were supposed to go, we should start up our engines, right? And the first officer that I was flying with at the moment, In short terms, we sometimes have to turn off hydraulic pumps in order to allow the aircraft to be pushed back, pushed away from the gate. But this was a small airport, so we could just start our engines and taxi away on our own power. So the first officer, he was going through his scan flow in order to start the engines and turned off the hydraulic pumps and then realized that he didn't need to, so he turned them back on again. And the problem with that is that these are pumps that are producing a lot of pressure. So if you turn them off and then turn them back on again quickly, there's a bit of a shock to the system. And that tripped the circuit breakers. Now, those circuit breakers was not in the cockpit. They were down in the belly of the aircraft, inaccessible to us. But it was a fault that we could not go with. So now we have the passengers on board. We're about to start our engines, and we now have this problem. And the engineers were hours away. Nothing to do, right? So we called for the engineers. I told the passengers that we would have this delay, and they were reasonably happy. And then the engineers eventually, after like an hour and a half, came by, and they were really, this is in Italy at in the evening, these engineers just wanted to get home. So they just came in, reset the circuit breaker, and went. And when that was done, then I wanted to give a PA to the passengers, explaining like, yay, everything is sorted, we can now go. And the problem then was that something else had also failed. When they'd reset these circuit breakers, there was some kind of other electrical issue going on, and it had fried the PA chip,
Oh, wow.
the chip that actually allows us to communicate through the public address system. So when I took up my mic and I wanted to talk to the passengers, they couldn't hear anything. Nothing was coming out. Now, that in itself is not a huge problem, right? As long as it's just the public address system. But now it also
Are
turns
you
out that
aware
when
of
we
that
tried
in
to.
real time that it's not working?
Yes, because
Okay.
you can hear when you make a PA, you can kind of hear yourself through the cabin. I couldn't
Okay.
hear myself.
Got it.
And I thought, okay, so I'll try to put the fasten belt, the fasten seatbelt sign on, which should come with a ding. I put it on, the light comes on, but there's no ding. Okay. So now I'm starting to realize that it's not just the public address system, it's all of the auditory system, which includes the way that the passengers or the cabin crew talks to the cab to the passengers. All of that was down. And that's a problem. But now I can't, I told the engineers, they had already gone back. So they were on the motorway and they couldn't turn around. And it would be another 40 minutes before they could come back, and they did not want to come back. So I now have to explain this to the passengers in some way, but I couldn't use the public address system. So I now had to go back and tell them in face to face. And I wanted to try to use, we have these loud hailers, and they are only used for emergency. They're supposed to be there just to help an evacuation in case the PA system is not working. And I tried to use it, and what you really quickly understand is that inside of a metal tube, you can't really use those to convey information. You can use them to like, come here, go out, get out, get out, but you can't convey information because you get interference and it sounds horrible.
Reverberation, yeah.
Terrible. So what I had ended up having to do is I had to stand, use my voice in front of the passengers, but in the beginning of the aircraft, and then go down midship over the wings and do the same for the back part of the cabin. And of course, passengers now have the captain in front of them. He has told them that they had one technical failure that was fixed. Now there's a different technical failure. Now there's only so many technical failures that a passenger can accept on the aircraft that they're about to fly with.
Right.
Oh, you're part of their
So
faces now.
So there's definitely like, is it safe? Are you going to like that? Really stretched, I stretched my communication abilities as far as I could there. We ended up not being able to fly because it ended up being a worse problem. The second problem was worse than the first one, so we ended up overnighting there. But still, it was one of those things that like you don't ever. First of all, you're never trained to do something like this. You just have to kind of play it by ear.
Maybe
It sounds like you did what you could.
this story will help answer my next question here. For us, we've kind of COVID, the times of COVID reaffirmed for us that computers alone can't replace the role of the audiologist. We physically have to still be doing the work. I have certainly heard a lot out there about how planes can somehow eventually be on autopilot, or technology can do it. In years to come, we won't need pilots out there. What about a pilot cannot be replaced by technology?
So this, I get this question a lot, as you might imagine. And the fact is that at the moment, technology cannot do what we do, which is informed decision making, mm-hmm. right? It, no matter how good the AI that we have today is, it's still a prediction engine, right? The way that AI is used today is that it literally, like, it has one word and then it guesses what the next word will be. That cannot be used for informed decision making. So, for example, if you are at altitude and you get a message that you have a sick passenger on board, if that is fed into to an AI today or into a computer today, the computer will be able to take the weather for the closest airport. It will be able to find the closest airport, and it will probably divert to the closest airport within weather limits, which makes sense, right? But a human will look at that same thing and think, yeah, but are there actually any big hospitals close to that diversion airport? Mm-hmm. And what about operationally? Like, do we have support for this type of aircraft there? Not only that we can land on the runway, but do we have other steps? Can we get the passengers off? Like, what, or is it suitable? Do we have enough fuel there to fuel the aircraft so that we can go on? And that kind of decision making will, in today, for example, will determine which diversion alternative we go to. Right? If there's one that is slightly further away, it might take a minute longer, but it's a higher likelihood that the sick passenger will get help. That's where we'll go. Mm-hmm. But a machine cannot take those decisions today. And these are decisions, and that's just one example, but we are taking these kind of micro decisions all the time. Mm-hmm. So when you're on a normal flight, we fly into an airport somewhere, for example, I use my previous knowledge of that airport to know that actually here at this time of day, we can expect to get a shortcut. So we're not going to fly this whole arrival route, which is in the computer. We are going to get a shortcut. So let's start our descent a little bit earlier so that we can facilitate and take that shortcut when we're offered to it. A computer today can only work on what it's being fed. Mm-hmm. So if it has a full arrival route, that's what it will fly. And if it gets clear to fly somewhere else, then it will end up just flying there, but then sitting in holding in order to reduce the altitude to get down. It cannot foresee or mm-hmm. take those kind of decisions. So today, there is no chance that with the technology that exists, we can be replaced. Mm-hmm. But I cannot say that, you know, if we get general artificial intelligence that thinks like a human, then sure. But then again, then you guys are out
right.
of the picture.
There's
as
no
well.
Role for
Everyone.
Anybody.
Exactly. Then yeah. then we'll have a smarter option, you know, a smarter version of us that knows everything that's ever been said and done in that area. Then we'll all be just sitting at home and sipping Coke. Right. That's what's going to be. Like, it's so, and this goes into the whole discussion, like, well, what about reducing from two pilots to one pilot? Makes sense. And, you know, there's a lot of discussions about that. But the problem is that with one pilot, you're really down to no pilot. Mm-hmm. Because if you have one pilot and that pilot gets some kind of medical emergency, heart attack, whatever, you're down to zero. And then yeah. the plane has to effectively be as good as two pilots, right? It has to. So one pilot is no pilot. Mm-hmm. So there's either or.
Interesting. It's I really appreciate your perspective today and the time you took with us today. It was a really interesting conversation. I think the work that you do is so valuable, and the information you put out into the world is so useful. I mean, personally, I thank you for it because I've found it very beneficial. And I think based on your audience size, there's a lot of people that you're positively affecting with what you're doing. And we just hope you keep it up.
No, thank you. I mean, I will continue as long as I feel that I am delivering value to the people that are listening. At the end of the day, that's as a content creator, that's the only thing you can do. If as long as people feel that it's valuable, whatever you're giving them, then you can continue. And that's what I'm
Absolutely.
planning to do.
All right. Well, again, thank you so much for taking your time today. We really appreciate it. And it's been a very interesting conversation for us.
Thank you very much for
All
having me.
right. And just let everybody know where they can find you, where they can access your information, your channel name, and all that.
So I have two channels. I have Mentor Pilot, which is the documentary channel where I talk about incidents and accidents and explain them. And then I have Mentor Now, which is more into the aviation industry, explaining what's going on with Boeing, what's happening in Indian aviation, more into the actual business of aviation rather than specific incidents.
Got it. All right. Well, we'll link
Thank
to
you so
that.
much.
And thank you again for your time. We appreciate it.
Thank you.
All right. Peter Hornfeld, Mentor Pilot, thank you for being on the Hear Us Out podcast.